systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
Hello and welcome to the Jam Hole. Today is Monday, November 16th, 2009. And my name is Matt.
And my name's Danny.
Thank you guys so much for being with us. Episode number 272, the Monday Night Show. If you are listening live, thejamhole.com/live, thejamhole.com/feedback. You can type shit and I'll read it. Or you can give us a call, 406-204-4687. How the fuck are you doing?
I'm okay. And you? How's your penis?
Hold on. Okay, you can feel free to cuss about the chat room. I just saw that. You like, Matt, bot, go now.
I wasn't trying to draw attention to it or anything. Jesus
this Christ. Show is only fun if you can use profanity in the chat room. I mean, I understand that, and I'm okay with that. So there you go. Feel free to cuss about the cabin. I'm good. My penis is good. It's still there. It's sad.
Still looks like a pig in a blanket.
Yeah, it's sad, like, when I look down, and because when I put the wrapping on, like, I don't know if you know this or not, if you have a penis or whatnot, but you don't have just one size of a penis. Your penis goes through many different shapes and sizes throughout its lifetime. And so maybe when I put the wrapping around it, it's a little bigger than when it's, you know, at full chill mode, I like to call it.
Yeah.
And
just
so
hanging out.
Yeah, and so sometimes I'll like go and I'll look at it and the wrapping is above where the tip of the penis should be.
Looks all uncircumcised.
It makes it look like my penis is shrinking, and I don't appreciate that one bit. But it's weird, because, like, I'll wrap it, and I'll make sure that the head is above it so that I can pee and all that stuff. And then, you know, I'll check it, like, a couple hours later, and all I see is the wrap. I'm like,
fuck.
Now, I could have sworn my dick was in here somewhere. Where the fuck is it? Where did it go? God damn it. God. So that's kind of weird.
It looks so sad, though, and when you pull it out. It just kind of, like, it's like... I'm in this, I don't know
what to do.
I'm just gonna lay here.
I know. I don't know what to do with it.
Doesn't know what to do with it, okay? It's
I'll tell you something, that jock strap, not as comfortable as it looks. I'll also tell you something else. If we discuss anything tonight that we may have discussed Friday, just bring it to my attention. Be like, hey.
I will. Trust
you
me.
Already talked about this, because I don't remember much of this weekend. So, if, you know, just stop me. How was your weekend? Did you have a... I'm sorry. Did you have a good weekend?
That's a rhetorical question, you fucking asshole.
Don't fuck with my rhetoric.
Yeah, I had a great... fucking weekend.
Was it good? Because I don't remember it. What did we do this weekend? Did we do anything?
I got mad at you for 3 days straight.
Were you really mad?
Yeah, I was. You wouldn't stop getting high.
I can't help it.
And then when you're high, it's like you're a fucking... I don't know. You're an emotional twat.
An emotional wreck.
Yes. You're constantly all over me. You look at me and you're like, kiss me.
Which
kiss
is funny
me.
Because
no,
when
kiss
I'm not
me like this.
When I'm not high, you're like, why don't you ever kiss me anymore? I'm like, I don't know, I'm just not
well,
high.
Well, when you're high, dude, you fucking want to jam your tongue down my throat every 5 seconds because you're like, you're so beautiful.
I just
I
like
love you so much, baby girls. Baby girls. Baby girls.
Are you serious?
I hate when you call me that.
When do I ever call you
when
that?
When you're high. That's it.
Really? I don't remember calling you that.
Yeah, you call me baby girls when you're high constantly.
Am I kidding, though?
No.
Or am I like, really?
You're like, I love you so much, baby girls.
I can't see myself saying that.
Well, you do.
You'll have to record it next time because I don't believe you.
Yeah, no.
I think you're embellishing the truth. I believe you're taking advantage of the fact that I don't remember much.
No, I'm not taking advantage of shit.
Well,
that's how you were.
Before we talk about my problem, let's talk about yours. You have a YouTube problem.
What?
Exactly. A what?
What are you
Is this a real
about?
Problem? You have a problem.
I only do it once in a while. Go fuck yourself.
That's fine. It's still a problem because when you do it, you're gone for like 4 hours.
I'm not gone like, for like 4 hours.
Someone sends you a link and it's a YouTube video. I'm like, fuck. Here we go again. And for like the next 3 or 4 hours, you will be sitting there finding videos linked off of the one. Like, Google and YouTube are very good with finding you more videos. Like, if you like this, you'll love this. It's like, well, where does that end? That's all well and
it
good.
It doesn't end.
But where does it end? You have to have enough sense to be like, enough! I don't want to see any more kitten videos, god damn it. And that's what you were doing. You were there for hours and hours stuck in the YouTube hole for a search of baby kittens.
So?
That's not healthy. That is not healthy.
Kittens make me happy, especially baby kittens. Okay?
That blew my mind. I would go and I forget what I was doing, but I would do something. And I'd come back and you're still there. I'm like, how long is that video? You're like, oh, it was only 3 minutes, but this is another one. And then I'll like look in your list of played videos and it's like this fucking long. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. There's only so many things you can look at that have to do with baby kittens, and I think you found them all.
I think I did.
So
I did very well with that.
How was it? Good?
It was great.
Was it good
you? It was great. It was awesome. I got to totally zone out and ignore you, which
was amazing. Was it really that?
Seriously, dude, it's that fucking annoying.
Because, see, I don't know because I'm
high. Of course
high.
You don't know. And then when I bring it up, you start crying because...
No, now, okay, what? You don't just bring up you're annoying. You're like, I'm going to leave you if you keep this up. And that makes me sad.
To leave you if you keep this up. I'm just like, Matt. You need to stop because it's aggravating the fuck out of me. And then if I say something about it to you, if I'm like, Matt, seriously, slow the fuck down. Matt, stop jumping in my lap every 5 seconds.
Like, the whole weekend went, I would get high, we'd go out and smoke a cigarette, we'd watch something, and I'd get high again. Depending on what we were watching. If it was a movie, I might get high during the movie once. But if it's like a TV show, you know, wait till the movie's over, TV show's over. Get high again, go smoke a cigarette, come back in, watch something, get high. Like,
And the entire time, you're not actually watching the movie or the TV
show.
No,
I am.
Because half the time, you're nodding out and trying to, like,
facefuck
me.
I was, okay, I was trying to facefuck you, you'll give me that. Not bad, though, for a guy that just had surgery on his dick. I'm, like, ready to get back in it.
Yeah, but you don't leave me alone, and you kiss so... I don't know. When you're high, it's not that great.
It's
man.
I know it's
you're
because
you're sloppy as fuck because you're like, let me just feel your tongue.
But
on
I do that on purpose, like I'm just fucking around with you.
No.
But I do it so many times like that you think that's just how I am. I'm totally just fucking around when I do that. When I'm like just licking your face because I know it bugs you, so I do that on purpose.
It pisses me off,
and
dude.
I apologize for that. I think it's really funny.
You owe me an apology for this whole weekend. Now go ahead and give it to me right now.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
This is why I don't do drugs, because if I have them, I will do them until they're gone.
I know. And then
so,
I try and take them from you and you get all bitchy. You're like,
because I don't I hate having that power over me that like now you have them, and when I want to get high I have to ask you, and I know because I know what you're gonna say. You're gonna be like, you just got high like an hour ago. I'm like, I know that, but I want to get high again. And I hate that. And I know you like it a little bit because you can make me do things at this point. You're like, okay, well, I'll give you this if you go do this or do this. And I hate having that held over me. Like,
well,
then
maybe you just shouldn't get high all the damn time.
I don't. I just had the fucking surgery.
Well, for 3 days you got high all the damn time. And so, it was really annoying. And you know what? Seriously, though, I would bring it up. And like, I swear at least... at least once every couple hours, you would break down and start crying.
Really? I only remember crying once.
No, you cried a couple of times.
Did I?
You're like, you're going to get out of work. I want you to leave me because of this. I can't help it. I just,
well, don't.
I can't control it. I just love you so much, baby girls. So much.
Don't threaten me when I'm high.
And I'd be like, yeah, that's great. I'm going to go take a shower. Bye. And seriously, dude, you're like dealing with a fucking emotional woman on the rag or something, or that's pregnant. I don't know, dude. You are the most annoying person to be around when you're high. I'm not joking at all. Huh. Could you
I've had girlfriends back when I was like really into it, and they're like, "You're only nice to me when you're high. I wish you could be high all the time."
Are you serious?
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's not. I don't know. You're really overly attentive and nice.
But that makes up for when I'm not high and I just ignore the fuck out of you.
No, ignore me. I don't care, dude. I don't want that much attention. It drives me insane. Seriously.
Okay. Like,
I told you in the beginning, please don't jump in my lap every 5 seconds and try to make out with me. Please do not fucking rub my face all the time or touch me constantly. It drives me insane.
Okay, well,
I don't like it that much.
I don't know what to say. Sorry.
So, just keep it in moderation, could you?
In the course.
And the nodding out thing, not digging that either.
I got it. Yeah, nodding out is interesting. It's hard. Like, I'll sit here and I'll be doing something on the computer and I'll feel myself starting to nod out. So what I'll do is close one eye, and that way I can focus, because if I have both eyes open,
he tries to click at different things on the screen, hoping it does what he wants it to do.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't.
But if I have both eyes open, it's a blurry mess, and I want to just, like, go to sleep. But if I close one eye and let that one rest, the other eye will actually make up for it, and it'll focus for about a minute or two. I remember doing this, and this is really awful. I don't ever do this, but when I used to work for Alamon and I'd be driving cross country a lot, I would do that when I would be driving. I would get so tired and my eyes would stop wanting to focus. So I would be driving like one eye open at a time, letting the other eye rest. And that'll work for like a minute to 2 minutes tops. And then you're falling asleep again. So then you got to like come out and like close the other eye. And I'm doing this like while I'm driving. It was the worst. I'm really surprised I didn't get in any car wrecks, but.
No.
So I'm like, I'm sitting there trying to like type stuff, and I'll be doing that, like, and I'll open one eye and I'll be typing something, and then like I'll fall asleep again, and I'll open up and I'll just see like what I was typing, and it'll trail off with like the same letter. Like I just fell on the keyboard and like I'm holding down the L key, and it'll be like 10 lines of just the L, and I can tell by how long my repetitive letter is, that's how long I was nodded out for, because the keyboard is set to a 1 second repeat time. So I know each letter is 1 second of time that I was nodding out on the keyboard. It's stupid. It's Jesus great. I have a Christ. Formula for this, but so we have some statistics I'd like to share with you all over the course of from what was it Friday night after the show, because I got a little high before the show Friday. If you didn't notice. And then Friday night after the show, I was up till probably 2 or 3. All day Saturday. All day Sunday. 1,180 milligrams of oxycodone. That's over a gram of oxycodone. That is 400 milligrams of 80s.
And another thing?
780 milligrams of 30s.
You know another thing that I fucking hate that you do when you're high?
Don't die.
You pick at your face.
Oh yeah, I can't help that. That's a weird thing I have. Like if I see a pimple, I'll fuck with it, and in fucking with that, I'll see like three more. It's like your YouTube hole. You'll be like, if you like picking this zit, try these three over here. And I'm like, I did like that. Let me try this.
Oh my god!
And it never ends, dude. It never fucking ends. And it
sucks because
can't
then you come out and you've got all these things all over your face. I'm like, damn it, Matt. Did you pick at your face? You're like, yeah.
The burger says weird tics when high. Yeah, I don't know. Do other people do that kind of stuff? I had a friend once.
I don't know. When I was on cocaine a lot, I would brush my teeth so hard that my teeth would bleed.
That's like, fucked up. Okay.
I'd like pick at the in between of my teeth. I would sit there and brush my teeth for like 20 minutes.
Clean
like,
the fuck out of my carpet.
Like, yeah, no, seriously. With my teeth, I did it so bad to one
really?
Point that like I think I scrubbed the enamel off my
when
teeth.
When I'm high on coke, I wash my hands a lot.
Really?
Like, it's weird. Yeah, I don't know if it's a weird tick. it's just, I just, like, you can feel the dirt on them, and they could be clean, and I'll just be like,
ew.
And I don't know, maybe some of it is, like, I'm so, like, up here, just vzzz, and I don't know what to do with myself, so I'm like, well, I haven't washed my hands in a few minutes, I could go do that, it's weird, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I'd be interested to see on thejamhole.com/feedback thing, you guys have any weird drug tics like
yeah.
that.
I don't know. I just don't really like you on the OxyContin.
I finally
drive me nuts.
I did enough of it.
I've never seen you on cocaine. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I get really quiet on cocaine and really like introverted and all.
I think that'd be kind of amusing.
I prefer to be alone. And
you should
I
do
really,
some cocaine
no,
together
because you because
I would
off,
be totally opposite. Like hey,
you're the kind
hey,
of person
hey,
that would just
hey.
Not shut the fuck up.
I know.
And I hate being around people on coke that just. Ramble and they can't talk and they'll go from one thing to another and you're like, well, I had a comment about 5 minutes ago what you said. It never ends. It sucks, dude.
I think it would be so great. We should record it too.
Berger says, yes, a friend of mine will be looking for drugs in her lap for hours even though she ran out a long time ago. Now that's not a weird tick, that's just being a
like
crackhead.
I want some more drugs, damn it, where are they at? I know I had them right here.
Yeah, I think that's just being a crackhead. That's like the whole going through your carpet thing. It's like, you know, there's no drugs there, and maybe there is, but chances are there's probably
you clean your
not.
Room just say you can find drugs.
Yeah, that's stupid. And I maybe this goes back to this whole thing. I know people that when they first get a sack of whatever it is, weed be it or coke, maybe not so much with coke, but I've seen people do it with pills and I've seen people do it with weed. When they first get some, they'll close their eyes, they'll go into their bedroom, they'll spin around in circles and just throw a pill or two or a bowl of weed. They'll just take like a bud, like a full bud, and just toss it with their eyes closed. And then they know that that's in there, and they'll find it when they don't have any, which is kind of, that always seemed weird to me. Like, I was never one for, well, let's save
this
for later.
Let's go find my shit.
Well, no, just even, like, let's save this. Like, I was always, let's, you know, we bought them, let's fucking do them. Why are you saving it for later? Like, I never understood that.
I only did that with weed, and it wasn't like that. Like, we had a little garage that we smoked in, and, like... I would get down to a certain point in my bag and I'd be like, all right, I don't want to have to share this with Robert, Avery, Ian, and Gabe. And like, I had a little compartment that if you just reached right up where the top of where the roof of the shed was, there's a little ledge right there. And I'd just hide my buds right there.
But see, it doesn't
until
work
Robert
though.
Finally just went, God, I really wish I had some weed right now. And found my stash.
See, that works for that, but if you're hiding it from yourself, like, I've tried that before when I was doing that. Like, I would put pills in one spot, put them in another spot, put them in a third spot, and I'd be like, but as soon as I got down to only, like, one in my main thing, I'd be like, well, it's cool, I can do this because I have two here, and two here. So, like, it never works because by the time you're done with it, you're going back in there and getting them anyways, so... The only way that works is, like, if, like I said, if you close your eyes and throw them, and then, you know, you gotta worry about your cat finding them and shit like that, but,
yeah,
I don't know, it's stupid, it's all stupid.
I would be up for trying cocaine with you.
Nah, I'm over
the
cocaine.
OxyContin? No. I don't
Are
really
you over
wanna...
the OxyContin?
I didn't even do any OxyContin, and I'm
Are
over
Are we done
it.
Experimenting with drugs?
You are done experimenting with drugs. OxyContin anyway. God
yeah,
damn,
I,
dude.
And that's, I can't help it. Like, I'll just do
Seriously,
it until it's gone.
You are totally a different person. Like, you are not
See,
my
that
boyfriend.
I don't recognize that because I am high. So I'm not like, man, am I acting weird? Well, of course you're acting weird. You're fucked up, dummy. Like, it doesn't become clear to me until afterward. You're all pissed. I have, like, tears running down my face. I'm like, what the fuck happened last night? Well?
Well? No, I mean, seriously, you're not my boyfriend when you're high. You're fucking
I'm
annoying.
Like super boyfriend when I'm high. No.
You're an
Is
idiot
it really that annoying?
Yes.
Would
it
you
is.
Leave me if
I swear to God, if you would have been on that shit for a week, I'd just been like, you know what, I'll call me when you're out of drugs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd have went back home for a while and waited for you to just sober up.
Berger says, get Matt high on meth. Everything will be normal.
No.
Maybe that's what I need.
Seriously, though, if it would have lasted more than the 3 days it did, I seriously would have went to my mom and dad's house and just be like, call me when you're sober.
Huh. Well, that's good to know.
Good, yeah, fucking good to know. Don't do it for that long ever again. Or just don't fucking do it ever
So what
again.
Else did we do? Because that's all I can really remember. I know we went and saw 2012 at the movie theater. Was that when I was high?
Yes.
Okay. I stayed awake for the whole movie.
If you have to ask, then you were high.
Well, I just can't remember if we did that before or after.
Exactly. You were
all
high.
It's like a blur.
You had to ask me in the car. I hope I did enough pills to last through the movie.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Was I driving?
Yes.
And I was cool driving, right?
I really wanted to drive.
Really?
You're jerky when you drive when you're high.
No, that's just my excitement.
No, you're jerky. Like,
how
like,
so?
Like, you just drive. I don't like it.
Like swerving in between traffic? Jerky?
No,
or?
like when you're turning, like, gradual corners and stuff, you know, you're like,
because I'm a very smooth
it's like,
operator.
It's like this, it's like like, I don't know, it's
really
kinda...
I don't notice that because I'm always like usually a smooth driver, like I'm really good about driving. That's weird.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy the movie? Did I enjoy the movie is what I should ask. Did I enjoy 2012?
Yes.
What did I think of it?
You liked everything blowing up, and I liked the ships at the end.
The disaster porn. It was disaster porn. Right. That was the term we've seen. I've seen it used a couple times online. I really like that. Movies like this that destroy either, you know, large cities or large sections of big cities or the whole world, it's all disaster porn. It's like you never in real life, you never get a chance to see what it would be like for your world to be destroyed. Like, you can't fathom that. Your brain just, it has a hard time wrapping itself around that. So when all this awesome CG comes out and we can mimic, you know, what it would look like if a meteor were to hit and if it was the size of, you know, 5 football fields or if the poles changed or what was in 2012, what happened? If, the shit just hit the fucking fan. You know, it's cool that we can see that and stuff. My only problem with it was that it was really fucking long. And I think I Twittered this, that if you can't get your movie done and say what you feel you need to say in under 2 hours, you probably should go back and rewrite it before you start filming it. And again, I understand, like, the 2 hour mark for me would have been perfect. They could have ended it right at everything blowing up, but instead they had to figure out a way to bring all the families back together and get them on these stupid boats that we made and, like, just kill everybody for one fucking movie, make it for me, and just kill everyone. Is that so much to ask? Why don't they end movies like that? I don't get it. Like, would people be more pissed that, oh, wow, I didn't sit through a 2.5 hour movie, but at least I got a fucking good ending, you know? Like, that seems, I don't know. I would rather you had made it shorter and ended it killing everybody and been like, the end, change your ways, you know? Like, make it immoral. Like, if you don't change, that's you. You're all dead. Instead of being like, don't worry about killing your planet because, hey, we'll find a way. Like, we won't find a way, dude. It's not going to end like in the movies. We're all dead. So make it more realistic and just end it like that. Be like, this is what happens when you're all assholes and you don't care about your environment too much and done, you know?
Done and done.
Done and done. So you did. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I liked it.
You liked the arcs?
Yeah, I like the arcs. They're cool.
Did you catch that one of the kids in the movie, his name was Noah? Did you catch that? Noah's Ark?
I didn't even notice.
A little nod at the Bible, like, hey, God, we got you.
I didn't even notice that there's a kid named Noah.
Yeah, I didn't either until I heard someone say it, and it was right after they had mentioned the Ark. And in my head, I was thinking, like, oh, weird, like Noah's Ark, duh. And then it was stupid. Noah's Ark in the Bible.
I know what
that
is.
The animals 2x2, right, okay. And then one of the kids, the father or something, was yelling for his kid or something. He was like, Noah! And I was like, oh, that was weird. I was just thinking that. And how, I thought it was kind of cool how they had, like, all these big animals being flown in by the helicopters,
yeah,
like, in the
cool.
That was kind of cool. But this CG, like, I was blown away by it. Like, this
was super good.
It was one of the more realistic-looking full... I mean, it wasn't full CG. Like, there was a lot of, you know, normal shots in it. But all of the good action was all CG. And it was very realistic-looking. Like, very impressive. I was surprised. So, it just... And we were right, weren't we? About... It followed the basic checklist of the apocalyptic 2012 movie that we had talked about. You have
broken family.
Broken family.
You got, like, the psycho guy living in the woods.
The mom is the awful driver.
Yeah.
I did like, though, that the psycho guy living in the woods was Woody Harrelson. That was awesome.
Nice butt crack, Woody.
Did you know that? I didn't know if you knew that, because when I mentioned it to you in the theater, you were like, what are you talking about? In every movie he's ever been in, he's shown his ass. All the way back in, like, the late 80s when The Cowboy Way, I think, was the name of it, he showed his ass in that. And, like, every movie since then, he shows his ass.
I did not know that.
The Am-Ham says, spoiler alert, bad shit will happen in the movie. Thanks for ruining it. Yeah, by the way, bad shit. The whole world dies, and then they get on the boats.
Pretty much.
The end. And now, don't let them fool you. They'll make it look like the boats aren't going to leave. But they end up fixing it, and they leave. So, just, you know, when that part...
Think about how many people actually didn't get off or get onto those boats and stuff. Like,
I know.
There's only a few boats. There wasn't
and
a bunch.
And now that I remember, thinking back, there was a news story a long time ago, and I thought it was a real news story, but it was a fake planted news story for this movie about how this agency uncovered... a government, and that they were making these big boats and stuff, and, like, we read it like a normal news story. It was, like, back when we first started this show, it was for that movie. It was for 2012, and it was like, and then we read about it, I think, a few episodes after that, about how they pulled this big marketing thing, and it ended up getting in real newspapers, but they were like, no, that's an ad for our movie that's coming out in 2 years, or in next year, but it was like a real news story, and it was kind of funny, but we thought it was real. I don't know. I don't really research my news very much, if you didn't know.
Had no idea.
So, the jockstrap, not very comfortable. Oh, I've been kind of worried about peeing. Like, I don't want to push too hard, because I just imagine myself, like, when I'm peeing, and if I push too hard, like, just the stitches going, and, like,
well,
blood and shit.
It would have nothing to do with that if you're pushing too hard. It would have to do
with...
Well,
it's just, I know that, but it's how it feels. Like, when I'm peeing, I feel like I could push these stitches all the way out, and I don't like that feeling. It's weird.
Dude, speaking of peeing, last night, dude, when you were high,
please.
I was in the bedroom, and I could hear you peeing. And I just pictured you, you know, leaning over the toilet with your arm on the wall.
I do that.
Like,
cause...
looking at your dick, and I heard...
It doesn't like coming out in one... One.
I noticed it was like
my muscles,
eight different times. I could just see you squeezing your butt cheeks together, like, like, just trying to get it out. I don't know. You did that at like 2 a.m. or some shit last night.
Yeah, I was up all night last night.
Yeah.
That was fun. So,
no,
yeah,
it wasn't.
The other weird thing about this, you remember the other night when I was in there and I'd taken the wrap off? And I was kind of, like, pushing near where the stitches were, and all of a sudden, like, all this blood started coming out, and I was like, oh, shit. And you're like...
You called me in, you're like, is this normal? I don't know what to do. It's my penis.
So that was kind of weird. Because it was like when I had that cyst burst, and I was like, I kept pushing on it, and more blood would just keep coming out, and I was like... Because it still kind of feels like the cyst is in there, but it's from how the skin is overlapped with the stitches. So I was like, that's weird.
I wonder if your skin's going to tighten up right there.
Yeah, he said it'll be all droopy for a bit, but he said it'll tighten up after a minute. It's like I got a little goatee on my penis. It's weird.
No, it's like your dick got lipo.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
and
like,
now you didn't get the stomach staple with it because you're broke.
You could have cleaned it up a little better.
Burger, you could have taken off some of that skin.
Yeah, thanks. Burger says pee muscles never work when high. Is it just opiates, or is it... Because I don't remember having that problem when I used to do coke or anything like that. Like, it's always just been opiates. It doesn't make your muscles work right.
Yeah, like, I know.
You have, like, to, like, stare at your dick and be like, that's the toilet.
It. Okay.
I'm giving you 2 more minutes because I'm not going to stand in here. Like, seriously. And you got to be like, you got
to. He says no speed, too.
Huh?
He says speed.
Oh, does it? Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. But yeah, you got to, like, look at your dick and, like, concentrate and, like.
No, I know, because when I do too many, like, pills or something like that and I sit in the bathroom and try and pee, I'm like.
Is it the same for chicks, too?
Like,
really?
I push them, like, God damn it, go! And then I stop, and I'm like, I give up, and I'm like, psst.
Yeah, you gotta just stop and take a deep breath.
Just kind of like,
relax. Remember your Lamaze breathing.
Let it go. Just let it go.
But yeah, you know, if you push
cocaine,
too hard.
I'm like, I gotta pee right now.
I pee it everywhere. I have no control over
you
it at all.
You pet me, I pee my pants. It's like, I'm so happy.
So then, what was it, last night? We watched another episode, or we watched a few. We had a little hoarder marathon last night. And, dude, high or not, I cannot tolerate that show. And you were getting pissed at me, because, like...
Oh, my God!
Every
you are the worst.
I can't help it. Like,
you don't shut up. That's another thing. When you're high, you don't shut up.
I do until it's something that, like, pisses
only when
me
you're
off
nodding
like
out.
That.
When you're nodding out or trying to make out with me, you shut
or then.
Up. Or when you're trying to make out, you're like, I love you, baby girls. I love you. I love you. Don't ever call me baby girls again. And you know how I can also tell when you're really high?
How?
Check this out. I don't even have to fucking be near you. And you text me. You say, I love you so much, baby.
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever said that in a text message.
I can prove it.
I try not to call you baby because that's stupid.
You say,
I
love you so much, baby, on these texts, and you'll send me like
three
of them in a day.
That's not my fault. It's the canned text that I have saved for when I'm talking to you. I just hit that button and hit send, and it's done. I don't have.
That's me.
Now you're going to wonder every text that I send you. You're like, is this canned? Motherfucker, are you even listening? Are you even reading what I'm typing you? You asshole.
No, but, like, seriously, dude, I know exactly what you're doing when you text me that. And then last night, dude, we're trying to watch that, and the entire time, you just don't shut up. You're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It pisses me off so much because these people are just like, ugh, they're retarded. So these people, they always get to the point where they face eviction and then their kids get taken away and shit. Like, that should have happened 8 months ago before it got to this
I know.
Point. And, like, I see this and they're like, and they're facing eviction. I'm like, oh my God, of
but, like,
course
I'm
they are.
I'm trying to watch this and hear what they're fucking saying. And I can't hear what they're saying when you're screaming at the goddamn fucking computer screen.
Yeah.
It's
well,
like, dude,
honestly,
shut
I
up.
Didn't think you were that into what they were saying. I thought we were mainly watching it to make fun of and talk about on the show. Now that I know that you know, you're into these people's heartfelt stories of hoarding,
no,
I mean, you
I
relate
know.
To them more than any of us, because, you know, you have hoarder blood.
How
I see.
Do I have hoarder blood?
Because your mom's a hoarder.
Your mom's a hoarder.
Not near as bad as your
Fuck
mom
you.
Is.
Fuck you. My mom's not a hoarder.
Okay.
She's a pack
Your mom's
rat.
Mom is a hoarder, though.
My mom's mom? You don't know my mom's mom.
No, but I've heard stories.
No, you haven't. I don't even talk about that lady.
She's the one you don't like, huh?
Right.
Because she's a hoarder?
No.
You don't like her because that's where you get your hoarder blood from, and there's some breakdown in communication there.
What? No. No, I just don't like her because she's retarded.
So, do you know that we have a job position called professional organizer? Did you guys
Dance
know
and
that?
Dan says Matt's stepdad is a train hoarder.
That
this guy knows you.
That is true. He is.
It's bugging me.
That's awesome.
Who the fuck knows that your stepdad is?
Haven't
a train
we ever
hoarder?
Mentioned that on the show?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know. Probably one of my brother's friends that's been up to the house.
Probably.
He is a fucking train. He's not like a train hoarder because he actually uses stuff. All the stuff in there he uses for the trains or their collectible things. Like, hoarders are like a whole house. He's kept that confined to just that one room. So if I start seeing train tracks coming out of that room and going upstairs, then whoa, dude.
Got a problem.
Time for an intervention. You for train hoarding and Danny for YouTube kitten hoarding.
What?
And me probably for doing pills. We'll have three interventions in one show. It'll be great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see, Dancing Dead, so he remodeled the basement for it. Yeah, that used to be my bedroom down there. Are you really? Danny's really freaked out. Will you please tell her in a private message that you're my brother's friend or one of my friends or something? Because she's really freaking out.
It's starting to bug me.
People do their research.
I'm glad he doesn't know anything about me.
I like to know who I'm listening to when I listen to a show. I recently I started listening to a couple of the Twit podcasts. Really cool shows, I might add. But yeah. I did a little research, like who is Leo Laporte? Who is this Dvorak guy? Who is? Because I like to know about who I'm listening to. So I do it mostly so I can know. Okay, do I take what they're saying as something worthwhile, or is it just more bullshit? You know, that's what I do. Like, the Leo guy, he's been on tech TV, he's had his own show. They're like, I can take what he says worthwhile because he knows what he's talking about for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I do. But if I see that it's like some crazy conspiracy theorist, okay, I'm probably just going to be listening because it's amusing. I'm not going to take what you're saying worth a grain of salt, you know. Anyway. And Berger says, haha, Dvorak is an ass. I see, I've only listened to a couple episodes where he was on it, but I dig Leo. That's a cool show he's got. It's really cool they have lots of sponsors and stuff like that.
So anyway, we were talking about hoarding.
Right, so a whole... If you need a professional organizer because you have so much stuff, like, each person should be responsible for their belongings, okay?
Right.
You're responsible, and if you have kids, maybe you're responsible for their stuff. If you need to hire in extra help because you have so much stuff, you can't keep track of it, like, whoa, dude, it's time to fucking slow down. And this, you're getting paid a wage to come into people's homes that have this problem and organize their stuff. And I don't know, every show we've seen, it has not ended well except for that one. And it was a homeless guy that was living in low-cost housing. So obviously...
Yeah, that's like the only one that's worked out.
Right, and it only worked out because he didn't have a whole house to hoard shit in. He had one room.
Right, and it was all just trash that, yeah, you can throw away.
And, well, I'm just saying the size. It was just one room, and yeah, like you said, it was all just trash. It wasn't, oh, I have my life in here.
Yeah.
Like, this lady we were watching last night...
I gotta find the pink and white tutu, and this other thing, it's got a blanket in there, and I don't know where it is. We have to stop everything so we can find it.
Freaking the fuck out,
oh
like,
God.
Every 5 minutes, and these people are getting pissed, because, again, you know, they bring in
these
a crew.
These are workers that want to go in and just get this done.
And they don't give a shit about your stuff, dude. If you're like, if a kid comes in and is like...
She was freaking out over some broken tie that got lost.
Well, I could sell those or I could do that. Well, you've had them for what, 10 years now and you haven't done shit with them?
Well, I
so...
can fix up this vacuum cleaner with a little bit of my elbow.
And I like that. The lady finally said to her,
What's
your track record of fixing up things? And I was like, yes, finally. Take
know,
that
right?
bitch. So then there was the, I don't know. There was a bunch of stuff. What I was thinking, the food hoarders are kind of the grossest ones.
Yeah.
Because
the one lady had fucking rotting pumpkins on her floor.
I understand.
She's like, it was a beautiful pumpkin when it was fresh.
Yeah.
And she's got fucking yogurt in her fridge that is... that. Fucking duh.
People are beautiful when they're alive.
It expires in 07. It's 09, dude.
Yeah, dude. What do you do
She's
with
like,
people when they...
I don't want to get rid of it unless it's squishy or puffy. That doesn't mean, you know, it, just because the expiration date went up doesn't mean that it's bad.
Yeah, it does. But if you say that, like, what do you do with people when they die? Like, they used to be beautiful, but they're dead now. You can't just keep them in a refrigerator. I mean, I guess you could, but you shouldn't, you know? You shouldn't at all. And I don't understand, because with the normal hoarders, it's always a psychological connection to these objects. It's food. You have no connection to food, do you? I don't understand.
Her excuse was that she wanted to... just
save money?
No, she wanted to be self-sufficient. That, like, she hasn't always had money in her life, and she doesn't want to have to go into a bad poor patch again and not have any food.
So you save up enough old shit that you can make penicillin when you get sick?
This lady chose her fucking hoarding shit over her family. Her family was like, you need to throw this away.
Yeah.
If you don't do this, But I'm not bringing your fucking grandkids over.
Imagine this. If you, yeah, exactly. You bring your kids over there to go see grandma, and she gets it in her head that she's going to start cooking with some of this rotten stuff. Now all of a sudden you have, you know, kids that are sick and throwing up, and she's like, oh, I don't know what happened. I just fed them stuff in the fridge. Like, have you seen your fridge? Have you seen the back of your fridge?
There's because a gelatinous mold holding everything together.
It was so gross, dude. It was disgusting. And these people, like, they're always so self-righteous and anal about it. Like, all their stuff is so fucking important. It's like, if you weren't here, all that shit would just get thrown the fuck out and your house would get demolished. But because for some reason these people are being sensitive to your needs, they're pretending like you're in charge and giving you a chance to go through it. But they don't. They don't go through it. They sit there and they're like, well, one thing at a time. And then, like we said before when we talked about this, they start going through these memory trips where they see, you know, not so much with the food hoarders, but more with the just the junk hoarders.
Yeah.
They'll see something, and it's like when you were kids. We used to do this. You'd go down in the garage, and you'd have all your toys that were boxed up from when you moved, and maybe you didn't get them all out. You start going through those boxes, and it's like a wave flood of memories hits you, and you remember all the times you used to play with them, and it takes time, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you shouldn't be going, taking trips down memory lane when you have a
two
big,
days
giant,
to clean out, yeah, you know, 1,400 square foot.
Exactly. And it sucks
if
that
it's all shit that you haven't seen in years, throw it away.
You don't need it.
You haven't fucking touched it in forever. You wouldn't even know if it wasn't there until you saw it.
And the one lady, she kept saying, I'm not a hoarder. I'm a saver.
Ugh.
I save things. I don't hoard them. I'm just saving that. All that trash there. Oh, yeah. I'm not hoarding that. I'm just saving it in case.
She's like, I'm a rescuer of things.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Like, she's like Nanny 911 here, and all this junk came from a bad family. She's like, I'm here to rescue it. That's so stupid. And the other thing about it, these people need some kind of electroshock therapy, I think. They talk to them really nice, and they baby them. Like, that's not working, obviously. You have to go in there with the fucking shock paddles and be like, if you don't clean this shit up, I'm going to shock the fuck out of you. And then they try to talk back, and you give them a little jolt. And you know what? Eventually, I guarantee they will clean up their shit. And you won't need a whole fucking crew of people to come in and do it. They'll do it themselves.
Yeah.
You made the mess. You can clean the mess up.
But these people are facing foreclosure on their houses. They're facing, what the fuck's it called? The eviction. They're facing
right.
Child services taking their children away.
Well, no shit, though.
And they can't do it. They still can't do it because they can't get rid of their shit. They're like, I need my shit over my family. I need my shit
that's
over
what,
my kids.
That's
it's
what
so
one lady
sad.
Kept saying. She's like, my family comes and goes, but my shit, or my stuff, she said.
My stuff is always here.
My stuff is always here. Your stuff is inanimate. That's why it's always. If your stuff had a brain, it would look around and see all this other stuff, and it'd be like, I'm out.
I'm out.
This is retarded, dude. It's so fucking stupid. So
it's so sad, dude. Like,
and what I don't understand, where do you get all of that stuff? Like,
I
that
know,
is.
Did you hear the solution to the one lady? She says, you know, I had so much stuff, I just didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't have enough room for it. She's like, my only solution was to buy a new house. Did you remember that?
Yep.
To buy a new house.
And then, so now you have all these houses that were owned by hoarders or whatever that you can't do anything with because they're so deteriorated from the inside, you know? It's, excuse my face, it's structurally bad, you know, physically it's awful. It's you can't live in that. You have to demolish it. It's fucking gross. Zofu says it's psychological materialism coming ultimately from instincts designed to deal with scarcity. Is that what it is then? Because a couple of them said that. They said that their mothers or their grandmothers grew up in the Depression and they never had things. So now they think that by surrounding themselves with all this stuff, they can keep that
but
from
there
happening.
There were younger hoarders. There was a young girl. She was 29.
Yeah.
20 fucking nine. And the boyfriend had completely given up. He was just defeated. He was like,
gotten,
I fuck this.
We've seen stories that they've gotten divorces and shit because of it. And you would think, though, that if anything would make you change, it would be your significant other. Like, if I was going to listen to anyone, it would be you or my immediate family, right? It wouldn't be some bitch on a TV show or anything like that. And that's what's happening. Like, their family is like, if you don't change, you can't continue going this way, you know? And they're like, I can't do it. They can't do it for some reason. I don't know if maybe they're playing it up for the camera because, you know, it is being filmed and stuff. And I'm sure that is the case sometimes. But I think a lot of the times,
Why would you even want to put it out there as such a disgusting fucking slob?
Well, I don't know.
Seriously?
I put it out there that my dick got surgery and stuff like that.
Yeah, but like, you wouldn't fucking show yourself- your house. When it's like that.
See, that's a different thing, I think, than a personal problem that, you know, you can't help. Like, you actually did that. You could have helped it, but you didn't, and you just kept bringing... You thought to yourself, huh, I have an empty space of carpet over there. I think some more stuff would look good there. And then you did it, you know? It's fucked up. Berger says they have boyfriends. They start out having boyfriends. I don't know how long that lasts or anything, but yeah. And it's like what Zofu said. That was the other note I had here. It's like they're trying to fill a void in their life with this stuff, but what they don't seem to understand is that the more stuff they get, the bigger that void in their life becomes, and it's a never-ending cycle, you know? Were there any other main things that I may have glossed over that you can remember?
No, just people freaking out about dumb broken tiles, tables.
What really got me is that, yeah, these people are trying to help. Again, like we mentioned before, they're trying
to
help.
They agree to the help in the first place, and then when they find out how much it actually is that they're doing, they freak out.
Well,
no,
I'm saying the hired work.
They go upstairs and cry and stay locked in their bedrooms or...
Well, I'm talking
about...
They only
get one room cleaned out in a matter of 6 hours.
I'm talking about the actual cleaning crew that gets there, like... They'll get set on a task, and then they'll get it done really efficiently. You know, they're really good at what they do. But then they have to stop. Like, if you would just let the crew go and do their thing without having to be like, can I keep this or throw it out? Do I keep this or throw it out? With every little thing, like, they would get all that shit done, and you wouldn't get evicted.
Yeah.
But because they make the mistake of putting the people whose house it is in charge, and I understand it's their stuff, but it's all trash. Like, really, come on. If you know, you're going to lose your house or not. And they slow down the whole process, and then nothing gets done. And they get pissed about it, too. You saw the workers, like, they'd be like, we're going to have to stop right now. And the workers, like, you can't hear them.
The
but
look
you can,
on the face,
yeah,
they're just like, are you fucking
you can see
kidding
the
me?
Sigh of distaste, just like, uh-huh. Are you fucking serious? Again?
So, that Dancing Dan private messaged me.
Oh, yeah?
And,
should you keep his message private?
I'm gonna read one of them because it amuses the hell out of me. It says, Matt and I used to swing back in the day. Don't know that it's changed. I made love to a few of his ladies and he mine.
Nice. That is true. I'm trying to think, is Dan his real name?
I don't know. I'm quite disgusted though.
Hey.
And he's, I don't know. I know he's just playing around and shit, but he's like.
You hope.
No, he's doing the whole, like, I'm a, like, creepy internet guy and, like, hitting on you thing.
Oh, nice. And yeah, go with that one, dude.
Yeah,
go with that one.
Because that'll really work.
Berger
right?
says, Matt is a swinger. Matt used to be.
Matt never again.
I said I used to be. Thanks, Mom. All right, well, let's move on here. I got a couple things I wanted to mention before we call it a night. We're going to do just, you know, an hour tonight because
we got some Dexter to
watch. We got some shit to catch up on. But I did want to talk about this on the Friday show, but we never got to it. This is kind of cool. The history of medicine is a noble one, yes, with an ultimate goal of extending human life and easing human suffering for the most part, right?
Okay.
Some are in it to make a quick buck. Unfortunately, medicine also has its share of charlatans, con men, and incompetents whose greatest evil is to cast doubt on the benefits of any medicine in the minds of laymen. Merriam-Webster defines a quack as a pretender to medical skill. Presented here, some self-proclaimed as well as licensed pretenders who may have had the best of intentions but certainly achieved the worst of results. Now, this is a list of the top 10 most unabashed quacks in medical history, like the most notable ones so far. Number 10 is Paul Chamberlain. You ever heard of this guy?
No.
He lived from 1635 to 1717. He was the purported inventor of the anodyne necklace. Chamberlain claimed that the necklace would help children's teeth as well as women's labor. So you put on this necklace, and, you know, back in the day, keep in mind this is, he died in the early 1700s. So, you know, his heyday was the mid to late 1600s, you know, not a very great century for humankind. So, you know, your kids would have problems teething and stuff, or their dentistry wasn't the best back then.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, someone comes along is like, hey, all you have to do is wear this necklace and your tooth pain will go away for your kids. You won't feel any pain in labor. People are going to be like, fuck yeah. It is no shock that children during the 18th century often died as infants, and as many times during the infancy the baby is teething, it may have seemed natural that the teething itself was the source of illness and death. The anodyne necklace was invented to simply place around a baby's neck to prevent infant death during teething.
What?
Which is awesome. So people... Because when a baby's teething, maybe back then, their mouths would get infected from the new teeth coming through, and they would die from that.
Probably.
So this guy says, your kids are dying from teething. If they wear this necklace, they won't die from teething anymore.
They wear this necklace. What the fuck does the necklace
do? Nothing. But the kids weren't dying from teething. They were dying from underlying illnesses that medical things back then didn't know about, you know? So it worked. It looked like it worked because, you know, the times where the kid didn't die from teething and had the necklace on, it was like, holy shit, this worked. It's like, well, no, your kid wasn't going to die from teething initially. It was something else that these other kids were dying from, you know. But it made it look like it worked. And back then, again, you know, people don't know. The necklace, Chamberlain deserves the last place on this list for preying and capitalizing on the grief and terror of parents who were more often than not during this period resigned to the fact that their children would be more likely to die in infancy than to make it to adulthood. Unbelievably, such necklaces are still being sold today despite an utter lack of evidence of their efficacy. And then there's a link to some other wellness necklaces like this. One of them is called the Amber Teething Necklace. That's so awesome. You're taking a 16th century idea and you found people that would buy it nowadays. And I'll put a link to this in the show notes. You guys can read more about it. It's kind of cool. Number 9, Albert Abrams. He lived from 1863 to 1924. He invented the dynamizer. And I think, I didn't do too much research, but I think the dynamizer was the predecessor to this quantum machine that we're seeing nowadays, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
The dynamizer, he claimed, could diagnose any ailment simply by feeding it. This is weird. You take a slip of paper that had a blood drop on it from the patient, and you'd feed it to the machine. So it would diagnose any ailment simply by feeding into it a slip of paper upon which had been blotted a drop of the patient's blood. And then if a drop of blood wasn't available, or the patient didn't want to give it, a handwriting sample would suffice.
Just write your name. Sample.
I'll feed it to my dynamizer here. That's so awesome. One made the dynamizer work by connecting it with an electrode to the forehead of an assistant who was stripped bare to the waist. Then the assistant was turned to face west under dim light and his abdomen struck repeatedly with a mallet.
With a mallet.
The vibrations coming off the assistant's abdomen would indicate to the doctor the nature of the disease. The medical community, ever the distrustful skeptic, sent an Abrams practitioner a drop of rooster blood to be analyzed with the dynamizer. The patient, in quotes, was diagnosed with malaria, syphilis, diabetes, and cancer.
Diabetes.
That's so awesome that even back in, like, the 20s, skeptics were still, like, around and doing this kind of stuff. That's so cool. They're like, hey, I got a good idea. Let's send them rooster blood. And they're like, yeah, let's do that. This will be great. That's like what we wanted to do with that lady. Like, go in and tell her the ovary you had removed was fucked up.
That'd be great.
And like, it came back with malaria, syphilis, diabetes, and cancer.
That's stupid. That's so ridiculous.
That's awesome. And then Bernard.
And guess what? They totally have everything to cure you, too.
Of course. They're like, for an extra, 200 ruples or whatever they used back then, they're like, we can cure your rooster.
Oh my God.
I mean, obviously, he didn't know it was a rooster, but that'd be funny if he's like, my rooster has malaria and syphilis. I keep trying to tell the rooster, I preach to it the importance of safe sex, but it just doesn't listen. It just crows. Number 8 here is Bernard. Can you please? There. Bernard Jensen, 1908 to 2001. He was a famous American chiropractor and iridologist who asserts that all of the body's underlying dysfunctions and toxins can be identified through the iris, which is the colored part of the eye, right?
Got it.
Despite the fact that the iris does not undergo major changes during a person's life, nevertheless, Jensen insisted that darker areas of the iris, or areas that change from lighter to darker, would be read as indications that there were problems or diseases in the corresponding part of the body. Different areas of the iris would represent different limbs and organs, and the left and right eye would be read differently. For instance, if the bottom of your right eye's iris had a dark fleck, your right kidney would be in grave danger.
What?
That's fucking awesome. And the whole thing of it is that, like, your eyes, they're the same, aren't they? Isn't that what that said? Your eyes are the same from the time you're born. Like, nothing really changes.
I don't think so.
So how he's saying you can read these changes, like, there's no changes to be read. You're setting up one person's eye from a chart that you have. That's what, a normal eye should look like or whatever. So that's kind of ridiculous. And these people make, like, a lot of money on this fucking, this bullshit. And that's fantastic. Number 7,
we should start up some homeopathic crap. Just to
I know. If I didn't.
It'd work.
I know.
There's so many dumb people. So many.
Still. And this, like I said, the first one, that was the 16th century. We're kind of working our way up. But there's still nowadays people that believe the same. It's different modes of it, but it's the same idea, It's the same basic shit. Number 7, Dinsa Gadiali, I don't know,
what?
1873 to 1966. He invented the spectrochrome, which he claimed could cure ailments by changing the color of the light to which the patient was exposed. His theory was that different colors corresponded to different elements. Blue equals oxygen, red equals hydrogen, etc. And the lack of those elements in the body was what caused disease. If the body was exposed to that color for a prolonged period, the deficiency would be remedied. So you're just flashing colored lights on people. That's pretty awesome. And the disease cured. Any disease except broken bones, of course, could be cured in this manner. I wonder if he started out being like, I can cure anything, even broken bones. And then they're like, this actually doesn't work for broken bones because those won't heal if you just leave them alone long enough. You're actually making things worse. Furthermore, the patient did not necessarily have to be exposed directly to the colored lights. He or she could also drink liquids out of an appropriately colored bottle in order to receive the same effects. What do you think of that? Just, here's a blue cup and some red light.
Here's some liquid.
See me in a week.
Yeah, there you
See
go.
See me in a week.
You'll be fine.
Number 6 is D.D. Palmer from 1845 to 1913. He is the father of modern chiropractic, Palmer's scientific method leading to his theory that misalignment of the spine is the most common cause of all illness in the human body, boiled down to 2 incidents. 1, he whacked a deaf janitor with a book during some witty banter, and a few days later the man claimed he could hear better. And 2, he manipulated an undisclosed patient's spine and cured her vague heart trouble, in quotes. On these 2 incidents alone, Palmer postulated that there was a fluid called innate intelligence flowing through the body that could heal any ailment and that could be made to flow more easily by unblocking pathways through the manipulation of the spine. So when you crack somebody over the face with a book, it aligns things in your spine and releases this fluid and you get healed. That's kind of cool. I would be that doctor. I'd be like, next. Whack!
Whack!
All right, that'll be $50. Next. Whack! Yeah. And you know what? You'd have a line out the fucking door if you marketed it right. As chiropractic is a very common practice today, this will most likely be the most controversial of the entries on this list. Except for us, because we really don't give a shit. Number 5, William J.A. Bailey. Have you heard of any of these people so far?
No. Nope.
Because I hadn't either until I read this. 1884 to 1949, he is the president of Radium Company of New York and a self-proclaimed doctor who never received his medical degree, of course. Is that like Dr. Funkenstein? I don't think he ever actually received a medical degree. He's like, he's a self-asserted, right.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Dre, also self-asserted doctor and probably never received a degree. Let's see here. He never received his medical degree. He prescribed to his patients Radithor, essentially a solution of radium in regular water. Do you know what radium is? It's a radioactive element.
Yeah.
Not very good
Not
for people.
Not good to ingest,
shouldn't be
maybe?
Drinking, probably.
Yeah.
Which he asserted would help invigorate tired patients. His most notable patient was Eben Byers, a wealthy industrialist who drank 1,400 bottles of Radithor before having his jaw fall off and subsequently dying from radiation poisoning.
Nice!
His jaw literally fell off, dude.
Did it, like, rot off at the hinges or something?
Yes, something like that. That's fucked up, dude. Wow. Like, man, I feel good. I need more of that radium shit. That Radithor. And there's a picture of what the old bottle used to look like. That's kind of cool. It's just like this little bottle. It says Radithor, certified radioactive water. And it's got a little cork in it. Oh, man. 1,400 bottles before having his jaw fall off. That's so amazing to me.
Why would you keep drinking it?
Why would you, like, after your jaw, like, your jaw doesn't just fall off. Like,
no.
You're going to feel that.
Something's,
you know,
going to hurt. You're going to be like, something's wrong.
Something's not right here.
It doesn't shut right, and it's creaking, and it's kind of rusty.
Like, yesterday, I barely fit my mouth around one sandwich, and today I can fit two in there, no problem. There's something wrong. It's fucked
up.
Oh,
my God.
Upon Byers' death, it was discovered that the radium had eaten massive holes in his brain and skull. Holy shit. Bailey also marketed a radioactive belt clip for, quote, portable energy.
What?
And a radioactive paperweight, presumably to perk up lethargic businessmen. It's all about radioactivity for that guy. That's so awesome. Like, hey, are you on the go? Do you want the same awesome effects without having to drink it? Just set this big hunk of uranium on your desk. You'll be fine.
Ugh.
Like, man, I feel different.
Weird.
I think I feel good. Oh, where's
my
jaw?
Die.
Fuck. That's awesome. Number 4, John Harvey Kellogg from 1852 to 1943. Immortalized in T. Corrugeson's
What?
Some Boyle dude wrote a book called The Road to Wellville. T. Corrugeson.
The Road to Wellville?
Yeah. Which was later made into a movie starring Anthony Hopkins as Kellogg and the brother of cereal magnate Will Kellogg. J.H. Kellogg, one of the few licensed medical doctors on the list, is well known as an eccentric and monomaniacal leader of the health movement. Stop using big words. His sanitarium in Battle Creek drew large numbers of patients who apparently volunteered for such masochistic treatments as complete abstinence from any sexual activity, since it was the source of most illness, yogurt enemas to cleanse the body, marching while eating meals to help digestion, carbolic acid applications to the clitoris to prevent female masturbation.
What was that?
And immersion in freezing water laced with, of course, radium, our radioactive friend from the one before. Apparently, he, not Will, was the original frosted flake. Ha ha ha.
I guess.
The guy,
dude,
who wrote this has jokes. Applying carbolic acid applications to the clitoris to prevent female masturbation.
Carbolic?
What's carbolic acid, first of all, if anyone in the chat...
Probably something to erode the damn clit.
Well, no, I think it's like when you put that stuff on a wound that your animal has so they won't lick it because it tastes really bad. I think it's like that, so you don't touch it.
I don't know.
I don't think it burns a hole in your clit. Maybe, though.
I just wanted to let you know, though, there's a pretty good comment here.
Oh, please.
Burger says, I think Matt should be a good boyfriend and get Danny some coke for being such a good girlfriend and not killing him this weekend.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I think that should happen.
I think you guys should be good fans and send her some coke to P.O. Box 3652. No, don't do that.
Just send me some money. I'll find it myself.
Will you? I don't think you can. If
I don't
you
know,
do, you're gonna,
pretty
if you do, you're going to be
dry.
Like, this sucks. This
probably
isn't even real coke.
Somebody please send me some pink Peruvian fucking awesome shit, please.
If it was something good like that, I would definitely do it. It's
you stay
this
off
shit
my
around
pink
here.
Shit.
I don't want to fucking. It's not that.
You ever
fun.
Had pink Peruvian coke?
I've had some good coke. I don't know if it was necessarily that strain of
oh
it.
My god.
But like some pure shit that like
that's
you.
That's the type of shit you're like, I'm going to walk through this wall over here.
Yeah, exactly. Shit
I'm
that like.
Go do that real quick.
As soon you don't shoot it and then go to the bathroom to puke, like as soon as you shoot it, you're vomiting. That's how good it is. Like that's bad motherfucking shit. All right, a few more here. Number three.
You didn't feel your brain just leak out your ear.
Yeah, exactly. Guitar Hero Dave says, carbolic acid equals a super douche. Is it really like what they use in douchey? That's fucked up. Why on your clit, though? I don't get it. Number three is John R. Brinkley from 1885 to 1942. He was the goat gland doctor. Goat glands. Brinkley performed hundreds of surgeries on men who feared that their most virile days were behind them by opening up their scrotal sacs and nestling goat's nuts alongside their nuts. Do you get that? You cut open your sac and you put some goat nuts, goat testicles.
In your sac?
Next to your nuts. You leave your nuts where they are all hooked up to whatever your nuts are hooked up to. You just set the goat nuts in there with them. That's disgusting, for one. For two, are you fucking kidding me? There was no arterial conjoining, no grafting, no fusion. The goat gland and human testicle merely occupied the same sac. But Brinkley claimed that the extra flow of testosterone would revitalize a male patient's sex life. Legend has it that his hypothesis turned into implementation while working for a meatpacking company. Brinkley was astounded by the sexual veracity of the goats, thus prompting him to half-jokingly suggest to his undersex patient that he should try goat glands. To this suggestion, his desperate patient responded, "So, doc, put 'em in. Transplant 'em."
Are you serious?
Brinkley went on to perform over 16,000 goat gland transplants. He also arguably established the first radio advice talk show in order to advertise himself and his services to as many potential patients as possible. The book Charlatan, America's Most Dangerous Huckster by Pope Brock is an excellent starting point to learn more about this irresponsible lunatic. So not only, like, nowadays there's well, I don't know if they're still alive, but there could be alive around 16,000 people that have goat nuts in their sacks.
Probably.
That's amazing.
That's gross.
That's gross.
That's sick.
Yeah, why is your sack so big? Oh, that's the goat nuts. But what? I fuck like a beast. Like, really? You had a crazy... You had your friend that works at the meatpacking plant with you. Like, he wasn't anything special. He was a meatpacker just like you, apparently. And you're like, man, if I could only fuck better. And this guy's like, you should try goat nuts. And he's like, well, put them in then if you're the doc. And he's like, I will. Give me a scalpel. Like, really? That is so amazing that people would do that. Goat nuts. Does that even sound like it would work? Burger says, yeah. Wouldn't goat nuts cause infections? You would think, right? Like, are you dipping them in some sanitization fluid of some sort? Or I don't know, man. That's gross. Number two, Walter Freeman, 1895 to 1972. He was a prominent neurologist and psychiatrist. He popularized the lobotomy by making it easy and convenient, perfecting the transorbital lobotomy where a sharp implement, the first was an ice pick from his own kitchen, was inserted through the inside corner of the eye, taped with a small hammer until it broke through, or tapped, excuse me, not taped, but you actually tap it, with a small hammer until it broke through the skull bone and entered the frontal lobe of the patient's brain, then wiggled around like a stir stick to cut neural connections. That is gross, dude. An ice pick, and you tap it, and then you wiggle it around to bust up all the neural connections in that part of the brain. And that was his thing. He perfected that. The trans... Well, I don't use an ice pick for one. I have an actual tool made for this. I don't know. Like, really? How do you perfect it? That's awesome. I've done a bunch of them.
I've scrambled some brains.
Granted, these kinds of doctors were probably working in asylums, crazy homes for the criminally insane people. So they had as many patients as they wanted to test it on. So, you know, they were able. He could have probably been like, and I'm going to sew some goat nuts into your balls, and we're going to see how that works also.
Okay.
And, you know, the patients had no choice, obviously. They're not going to be like, I don't think a transorbital lobotomy is what the doctor ordered. And the guy's like, well, actually, I'm the doctor that ordered
it. And I'm ordering
it.
So yeah.
Strap them down. Dude, could you imagine being in a crazy home like that and they strap you down and this fool's coming at you with an ice pick and a little hammer? Like, where's that going?
Yeah, no. I don't want that anywhere near me.
I think that's a nightmare of mine, man. I think that would really freak me the fuck out.
You think? Yeah.
Pretty sure. These surgeries, in quotes, were performed outside of the operating room without anesthetic and after the patient was incapacitated by electroshock therapy. Huh.
No anesthetic. Oh, God, dude.
He shocks the shit out of them till they pass out and then does it, is what that says.
What exactly is it? He shoves a ice pick up their nose and...
No, through the corner of their eye.
Oh,
this way, because that's where the part of the brain, I forget what part it is, that's the part of their brain that they're trying to cut apart from, you know, the rest of the brain. So
why were they trying
to
cut it apart from the rest
because
of the brain?
Because the lobotomy supposedly calmed people down that were crazy. It fixed certain weird tics. And all they were doing was damaging that part of their brain. And maybe in some people, sure, that made them less crazy. But I don't know, man. That's pretty crazy.
That's kind of radical, dude.
Yeah.
Just like, let's not do that.
And back then, that's pretty sweet. Freeman eventually developed his own instrument for performing the lobotomies called the leucotome. That's it.
What?
I'm going to go with that. L-E-U-C-O-T-O-M-E. Leucotome. He decided to refine his instrument further when one broke off inside a patient's orbital socket. That's your eye socket.
Berger says, I can stick a Q-tip up my nose. Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for that.
that. Even after his medical license was revoked for killing a patient with this technique, he would travel the country in his lobotomobile to service the needy and the isolated. He performed 3,439 lobotomies during his career, though the psychological and physical damage caused by his practice of psychiatry is unquantifiable. For an amazing and heartbreaking first-person account of an 11-year-old victim's lobotomy by Freeman, My Lobotomy by Howard Dully is a must-read. This guy wrote a book about it. That's cool. I kind of want to read that
now. Yeah, you should probably read that.
Like a first-person account of this fool coming at you with the old ice pick? And then the number one quack of our time here so far, of course, has to be Joseph Mengele, the old Nazi doctor that experimented at Auschwitz on the Jews. He was crazy. You never heard about this guy?
No.
Really? He was the angel of death at the Auschwitz death camp that would go around and, like, he would cut off arms and put them on other people and take out eyes and put them in other people. Like, he was all about doing weird shit like that, trying to see how stuff worked. And
Well, that's cool.
It's cool, but it's not cool because these people were prison there and they had no choice.
But, like, I mean, if you had people to just...
Oh, yeah, if Hitler came to me and was like, Dosh, I want you to do this, I'd be like, really?
I will totally be down on that.
You want me to make people have blue and brown eyes? I can do that. No list about quacks would be complete without mentioning this undisputed king of cruel and inhuman research experiments, the angel of death at Auschwitz. Mengele's crimes against humanity during World War II at the concentration camp are well documented and well known, except if you're Danny. Some of the more notable and
sure
horrendous.
I'm sure I've heard of them at one point or watched them on the History Channel or something. Probably. I just don't recall the name.
Well, maybe this will refresh your memory. Some of his more notable and horrendous experiments he carried out were injecting dyes into children's eyes to see if eye color could be changed, attempting to measure how much force would be needed to break a human being's skull. While living, of course.
Nice.
Putting Jewish prisoners in a gigantic oven and testing how long it would take for human flesh to sustain first, second, and third degree burns. Sewing twins together to see if he could create conjoined twins. And rubbed ground glass into injuries to see what the effect would be. Huh. I wonder what
rubbing
this does.
Rubbing ground glass into an injury.
Like, really?
Let me see what this does.
Okay, that one, I was pissed at the guy. He was being a real whining dick. That was for me.
And these two babies, they came out separate. I wanted them to be together.
They wanted to be together forever.
I'm
going to
go ahead and sew them together.
The damage Mengele did to an entire race of people, to the human spirit, and to our perception of the depravity of the human mind can invent is still unsurpassed. No one's matched it yet. That's pretty awesome.
So, that's great.
Yeah, I'll put a link to this in the show notes, and you guys can check it out. There's cool pictures of the actual doctors and doing their things and links to the different books that the people wrote that was involved with stuff like that. So
sweet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like mad scientists.
Some real-life mad scientist shit, and it's not a quick jump to the people nowadays that are selling this shit, except they're not doing it to see what happens. They're doing it because they know they can make money off it.
Yep.
And I mean, a couple of these guys back in the day did it to make money, but a lot of them were doing it to see what would happen. Like, what
and
would
I
happen
can understand
if,
that.
Yeah, you're learning. I mean, maybe learn on cadavers, not Jews. But I mean, I don't like Jews either. Whatever. What are you gonna do?
Oh my god.
All right, anyway. Well, you ready to get the fuck out of here?
I'm ready to watch some Dexter, dude.
All right, well, we'll save these stories for the Wednesday show then. Thank you guys so much for being with us. It's been a lovely episode of The Jam Hole. Email us info@thejamhole.com. As usual, thejamhole.com. That's where all our shit's at. Leave a message for Wednesday's show at 406-204-4687. I put a link to Danny's MySpace.
Oh, did you?
So, yeah, if people wanted to see that, it was on the Friday's show notes. You can.
I actually keep up on my MySpace and do post things on my MySpace and
I think
upload
what,
pictures.
I think what it read was something about Danny still can't figure out Facebook, so here's her MySpace. Hit her up if you want.
Fuck you, dude. I hate Facebook. It's stupid.
Why do you hate it?
Because there's something wrong with it. It doesn't let me type shit.
Okay, that I will give you. Does it not do it on the new browser?
No.
Have you checked?
Yes.
And it does it. That's weird. For her, when she goes to her Facebook, she can't type in any of the text boxes. Like, it's fucked up. And I've looked at it. It's not her. Like, it doesn't work for some reason. But it works on mine, which is weird. Like, I don't know if you have something set wrong
or what.
I don't
like Facebook anyway. It's just whatever.
I didn't like it at
first. I've had MySpace for fucking years. I will just stay with it.
Everyone did, but I don't know. I like it better now. And I like the mobile stuff. They do really.
I don't want to just, like, fucking make a new profile, a new page of cool stuff. I've already got that on MySpace. It's cool. I've got it.
Well, I just obviously copy and pasted everything, but, you know, I like checking it better, and I think it is more interactive if you want to interact with the people that you're following. MySpace, I never really talk to anybody on there. It's all just stupid comments, but in Facebook, you can leave comments on individual things, and it's more interactive, I think. I like it a lot better for that, but it's
I
all...
I don't really like to talk to people that much, so
yeah,
I'm
well,
good.
Yeah.
I don't really, you know, I don't carry around my phone and check all my statuses in Twitter.
But if you had a droid, you fucking would.
No, I wouldn't because I don't want the internet on my phone. I don't.
Really? I do.
No, I'm good. I'm totally cool without
I don't,
it.
Honestly, now I don't know if I could live without it. It's become so ingrained in my world. Like, I don't know. I just
don't care at all. So.
Oh, well. Well, you got anything else you want to say before we get the fuck out?
Future warning, please don't come into the chat room and hit on me.
Who did that?
You're Dancing Dan and Dancing Fool, dude, because I kicked him out.
That's all. Did you?
Yeah,
because he's just fucking around, I'm
sure.
Well,
I didn't ban him, I just kicked him. So I was like, warning, okay, cut it out. And then he comes back as Dancing Fool.
Just let him be.
And just, you know, hitting on me constantly. Don't fucking hit on me. It's annoying, dude. Like,
don't flatter yourself. He's just messing around. You take things on the internet too seriously. And yeah, if you did have a phone with internet on it, you would be killing yourself.
No, it's just annoying. Like,
I need to train you better in the ways of the internet. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for listening, for spreading the word. You know, tell everybody. Subscribe, rate us, all that kind of cool shit. TheJamal.com/Twitter, YouTube, MySpace, Facebook, all that fucking shit. And we'll see you guys Wednesday. Goodbye.
Later.
You are listening to The Jamal. The Jamal. TheJamal.com.